a candle theme and lights and the decorations. And we wanted to make a deal about this verse here, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Ye are the light of the world. And it is our... I had the privilege of preaching to the kids over at Vision Baptist College this week, and reminded them that they are responsible for this generation of people. You are responsible for the generation that is on this earth today. Now, we can talk about the great men before that have done great things and have changed their world and turned their world upside down. But it says, present tense, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So all this week, let's take into account not just our special guests and our missionaries that are with us, but how are we lighting our world? What are we doing? How are we helping the gospel get to all four corners of this earth? Are we taking it ourselves? Are we sending others? Are we being a witness where we're at? So let's think about that as we go throughout our week this week. Had the blessing some many months ago speaking with Brother Robinson, and we set this up a long time ago, and I'm thankful for what the Lord has done in his life, and thankful for where the Lord is taking him. He is going to the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere with something that will make people greatly rich, not in finances, but in eternity. So you give careful attention to him. And again, it is our privilege. It is a blessing to have him here. And make sure you get out to Brother Mooberry's and Brother Robinson, and then Brother Bradley will be with us tomorrow. You take their prayer cards. Again, don't just decorate your fridge with them, but truly pray for them. Truly pray for them. Brother Robinson?
Thank you for having me to come here, and I'm so grateful for that. And I was praying and also waiting in God's timing and to be here on this mission conference. And this is my last one here. And just like Pastor said, and I think he's on that month of October, he's the only one. I mean, he's the first one that scheduled me. I mean, he's the last one that I'm here. I mean, this is my sixth mission conference. And I was in one in Pennsylvania, and I had to be here and driving, like, I left Pennsylvania. That's a place called Duncansville, Pennsylvania. Probably 5 hours away from here. And I made it to the hotel, to my hotel room at 1:30 a.m. I was so tired. So you asked me, what time did you get up this morning? I mean, it would be a shame if I tell you that. Don't ask me what time I get up this morning. So anyway, I didn't even get breakfast. You know, I'm fasting this morning, except coffee I drink. So thank you so very much for that and for your kindness. And some of you already shook hands with me. I met Miss Sue and Mr. Barrier, and so many of you here. And I'm looking forward to get to know each one of you here. And please, and after this service, please just... stop by my table and just let me know who you are, and then just tell me your name. And even if I ask you again, sometimes it's hard for me to keep people name. Please just let me know who you are after the service, okay? And also, I'm excited to get to know each one of you and your pastor as well. So, my name is Robinson Grasso, and I'm a missionary to Haiti. Let me just say this to clarify. I almost grabbed both the mobile card. So anyway, that's let me get the right one here. So no, you are the right one too. But anyway, just, you know, but I can't advertise you for you. So anyway, I got saved because of the work of mission. You know, my testimony. If this morning you probably skeptic about mission, you don't know exactly what is it about. I mean, how do I pray for? Why do I pray for those people? Why do I spend money for those missionaries? You might skeptical about mission. Let me just say this to you. What I'm going to share with you probably remove all gaps, maybe skepticism in your mind. I got saved because of the work of mission. And people like you here who pray, and those who give, and those also who go as a missionary, for instance, like Brother Mubeu and some other missionary. And when I was 17 in Haiti, it's a tough country. We have a nation that worship voodoo. We have like 80% people worship voodoo. And I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a single mother. And my dad lives in the U.S. and especially in Florida for over 20 years. And no one showed me how to know God or how to love God or church. I mean, when I was 17, there's one man that his name is Biz Lewis. He was graduate from Hillel Anderson College, if you know that school, in Hammond, Indiana. And he went there in my hometown and started a church. And one of his men, you can say assistant pastor, if you will, live next door to me. And then we just begin to make friends with each other. And sometimes he invited me to his house. And then one night, it was on Tuesday night, he took a Bible just like that and to show me how to get saved. And I was trusted Christ as my Savior that night. And because I thought, in order to get to heaven, you have to do good works or to be faithful in church or to be baptized. And he said, no, just you simply put your trust in Jesus Christ, that he died for you on the cross of Calvary. He was buried and also he rose again. I'm like, this is easy. And I was so excited this night now. And I said, okay, now I was looking for what I need to be saved. Now I know. And I'm so thankful I am not going to hell anymore. Amen. And then I said that. I said, okay, now I'm saved. Now I can do whatever I want to do with my life, you know, because I know I'm going to get to heaven when I die someday. Anyway, whatever thing I do, I'm saved. I can't ever be lost. I said that. And the Holy Spirit said, uh-oh. So he always invited me to go to church because I thought in order to get saved, you have to be in church. Now, I get saved right now. I don't have to go to church anymore. And he always invited me. And I said, well, I'm so busy in school stuff. You know, I was in high school. And then one night or one day, he just pointed his finger on my face and said, now, listen, you're not just every time I invited you, you ought to be honest. As a young man, you need to have enough character, you know, to say yes or no. You don't have to just tell a lie. And I was so under conviction. I said, okay, now, and I promise, and I'll go this time. And I went. And it was good. And 2 weeks later, I got baptized. And also, I began to grow. I love church, and every just Sunday, and we have like a Bible study on Thursday instead of Wednesday night. And just, I love it. And 2 weeks later, I was followed the road by being baptized. And also, our pastor, who is a missionary, and used to have some kind of like personal evangelism classes, and I get involved before church starts on Sunday evening, and we take 1 hour. I bring my pencil and everything, so we take notes on how to win others to Christ, and just we do that. And also 2 years later, God had called me to preach. So you know our church in Haiti, we used to run like 4 buses, like bus route, and I was to be bus captain and taught Sunday school class. And I get involved deeply in that church. And then my dad decided me to move here in the U.S. and Florida. And then he filled out application for me and everything. And then I said, Dad, now I'm saved. Now I'm called to preach. I'm going to Bible college. My dad and my stepmother, they thought I was crazy because I make my own choice to go to Bible college. And they said, well, you are going to waste your life because you're not going to get anything like in Bible college. Why don't you go to a school you can learn maybe something like, you can earn money, you can make some really good money. I said, well, I don't think it's a good idea. And I commit my life to the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm going straight to Bible college. And he said, who are you going to pay for that? I said, if you go to another school, like secular school, I can help you, but in Bible college, we're not going to help you. I said, okay, that's fine. And also, I never forget my stepmother. She used to work in some other place and always look. I didn't speak any English. And before I went to college, I went to secular school to take 11 years language and I learned English. I went twice a day. And then they finally found me a job. This job, if I would take this job, it could have affected my classes and my English language school, and also I used to visit some church on Sunday morning. You know, when I first come here, I thought all Baptists were Baptists. You know, I didn't care. American Baptists, Southern Baptists, and everything. So that's, I didn't grow in the Lord. And so I went to any church, like I said, but if it's a Baptist name, I went there, you know. And my home church was kind of like a Baptist church. And I used to go with my stepmother to church, but kind of like charismatic things. And I decided I'm not going to go there anymore. And I went to another church, which was an American Baptist, my first home church. I didn't know better, you know. Just please forgive me for that. So, and then went there, be faithful. And my stepmother found me a job. And I said, well, I can't work on Sunday. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. If you hear you work on Sunday, I'm not against that, you know, because I have a personal call in my life. I'm trying to follow God's will as a young man who called to preach. I said, well, I can't work on Sunday. And also, this job will affect my school things, and I don't want to get that. And she thought I was lazy. I didn't want to work, which was not true. And I said, no, I mean, I don't want to get that. It just, she was so upset with me. And then so many pressure in the house, and I had to leave. I make myself, they didn't kick me out. I had to leave with another friend until I finished school, and I went to Bible college. I had no money. And you ask me, how did you make it? I mean, I have no idea. God was on it, you know. So right now, I am on deputation and deciding to go back to Haiti as a missionary, and I'm so excited. You know, I've been on deputation. This October make me 1 year on deputation. So somebody asked me, when did you plan to go there? I want to go maybe for the next couple months. Only one thing that stopped me is support, and my support level right now is 43%. There's some more is coming in right now, and I'm so grateful for that. So I'd like to encourage you, please, and you pray for me, and I have my prayer card over there. I also have a mailing list. You can put your name and your email, and if you like to, I can send you my prayer letter every other month or every month. Please pray for me as well. Because we have a country that's really tough, and just like I said earlier, we have 80% worship voodoo. When I said voodoo, we have like Catholicism and voodoo, they just merge each other. And also we have 15% charismatic, 5% Baptist. Now is what happened in those Baptist church. They have named Baptist, and inside they don't have the Baptist doctrine on it. And thing we are facing about Haitian people, some those who claim to be saved, and some of them think they can lose their salvation. It's really tough. When I was in school, we have my third roommate was a Haitian, and we have that discussion about eternal security because he didn't believe in eternal security. I was trying to help him. He was kind of upset at me. So anyway, please pray for Haiti. It's a very tough country, and I believe only hope for this country is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So, and I'm excited about that and what God has for me to do in Haiti. And when I get there, just my plan is to start a church in a place that's called Henge. Henge has 50,000 people on it. And I went there 2 years ago, over 2 years ago for a survey trip. And there's no missionary over there in that area, specifically 50,000 people. So, and I feel like this is where exactly God wants me to start a ministry on that location, Henge. And when I start a church as a missionary, it's to start a church and let it grow. And also, if someone called to preach, and I will leave that church to national and start another one. And this is my job is a missionary church planting. And also, we have planned to start a Bible institute as well to training people. And also, I have a desire in my heart to start a bus ministry. It's in my heart. I love bus ministry. And I was in college. I worked for 4 years with bus kids, and I certainly love it. It's in my heart. Please pray for me for that as well, because I know it takes money. You know, you don't want to start a bus ministry just because you have to make a budget for that. But it's in my heart. Please pray for me for that as well. And I want to see some buses and go out in the street and pick up people to church as well. And also our radio station ministry. And I put this in the bog burner for a little bit because I don't have the equipment to start a radio station and to broadcast the gospel of Christ and also Christ-honoring music. And this is what I'm going to do when I get there in Haiti as a missionary. All right? And this is my testimony. And before, what time is it right now? It's 10:26. And what time do you want me to get done?
Quarter to.
Okay. So is anyone you here? Can I take some question, Pastor? You don't have any question, maybe you feel free to ask me, anyone here. Any question? Yes, sir.
You said that the person that led you, Lord, is a missionary. Are they still in Haiti serving today?
He's not there right now. He turned that church to national. Now he moved to the other side of the Dominican Republic. We share border with Dominican Republic. So he's there right now. But sometimes he goes to visit that church, but he's not there anymore. But he's still a missionary to the other side of the island. All right? So are you from... you look like Spanish, but anyway, I'm not trying to offend you. Okay, anyway. I thought you look like Dominican guys, you know. So anyway, this is why you ask. Okay, anyone here has any question, please, you feel free. Listen, there is no stupid question. I said that last night on the banquet. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Yes, ma'am. Okay, that's it. Good question. I speak Creole. This is our main language. We speak Creole. And Haiti, the second language is French. And if you speak French, maybe feel free to... I don't speak... I've been here right now for 7 years, and my mindset, an American mind, English right now, even when I speak Creole, it takes me a while to just give an answer right now. Not because I speak it fluently. Because to speak and to make it sense, and I have to take a while, even in French. French is harder, but I still speak French. And also I read French as well, you know. Yeah, we speak Creole and French, yes. Yes, sir?
Me. Right. Seen a lot of things on just about Haiti and a lot of orphans and things. Is that true? Is there a lot of kids without homes and things like that there, or? Is that a realistic thing?
Well, orphanage, there's some missionary that go there to have some orphanage, and those kids who can't pay school, or there, we don't have like a lot of job, and most like people do like farming thing, you know, like farmer. And I would say yes, there are people, really, there's some area in Haiti, it really works. And if you want to go to Haiti as a mission trip, and this is the place probably you need to go. However, if you want to go to a place like maybe for vacation things, and maybe you can go to one place like called Labadi, you probably would love it. We do have those kind of things in Haiti, like people who just can't support themselves, don't have a job, or homeless. Yes, sir, we do. Yes, sir. You're talking about the earthquake, right?
The earthquake, there was a whole bunch of things.
Right.
Luckily, here it's a bombshell about some things, some political candidates.
Oh, yeah.
But what is the status of the infrastructure of Haiti right now?
Well, you asked me a question that will lead me to politics. I don't want to get people upset. Right. So, yes, sir, I'm here for 5 days. If you get upset at me, please, you can. Bible said, under hardness, okay? So, people ask me this question, but, I answer, but no one upset at me when I said that, you know. But this country gives so much money to Haiti to help, and after the earthquake and some kind of hurricane. Have you heard about Clinton Foundation?
Yes.
All right, so... Now, you know, you got some idea right now, you know. But if you're Hilawi people, please forgive me if I say that, okay? Because I'm not Hilawi people. They have a foundation, like Clinton Foundation went there. You want me to answer that question for you? All right. They have that foundation that they're, you know, just... They pretend they are going to... I'm trying to go, smooth, you know, not to make people upset, you know. Because you guys, if you are safe, you are a Christian, so let me answer. Yeah. They went there, you know, to pretend they will help Haitian people. I think this country gave over $400,000 for that earthquake things. You don't hear that on news. If you open your news channel, you don't see that on the news. So they get all those money and everything like that in Haiti. And until now, there's some of the places that never recovered from that earthquake because of that. You think, well, this November, this is going to be election. It's coming up. And right now you tell, well, I mean, all those people, they are for poor people, or they're just there for you. No, they are not. Of course not. They are not for you. So people here need to open their eyes, you know, to study or to do some homeworks, exactly. So this is what they are like, and I call them like coke people, you know. So they went there to get all those things, you know. You don't hear that on news, and they don't follow that process as well. And this country is still in a bad shape after the earthquake. Not only that foundation, also we don't have a strong leadership in our country. Our president as well, all those people like coke and not honest. And I believe only hope for this country is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, and also if some other foundation that, you know, want to help Haiti about those things, there's some good foundation here. I if you heard about Samaritan Purse and Franklin Graham just run this foundation, you know. I think they are honest people. I mean, they just, if they go there, they do something, you know, to help Haitian people. So other than that, all those political people, none will help Haiti. All right. So thank you for asking. Anyone else here has any question, please? Please don't get mad at me, okay? Just I do it a little bit smooth for you. So, yeah.
I think it's interesting. You said that 80% practice voodoo.
Yes, sir.
And then you mentioned radio. So I doubt there's anything Christian that they can listen to on radio.
Well,
is there or no?
Like, you mean about, like, music or the gospel? We have... Well, we have some other, like, some gospel radio station. And even some of them are good. Some of them are most likely, they think, I mean, they put station by works. And also music are terrible because this is the culture we are in right now. They don't have really good music. I mean, it's, even in church in Haiti, music is really not good as well. We have something in Haiti that really good, but most likely it is tough. To me, I mean, I especially for the music things, you know. But most places, it's salvation by works. They can still preach Christ died for you, was buried, but they just put a little bit of work on it to mix it with work in order to get saved. All right. Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. Well, I mean, I'm so thankful. We have a freedom of speech that we can preach the gospel of Christ. It's not unlikely some place, just like you said, like Saudi Arabia or some other place in Asia, the gospel is banned. But we can preach the gospel in the street and whatever you want to. But only one thing, if you preach against the government, you can get hurt. But I'm going to preach Christ in the Bible, not, you know, that's what I'm going to do in Haiti. So we are so thankful for that. We don't have that problem in Haiti. Yes, sir. All right. So, anyone here has any question? Yes, ma'am?
So, with the voodoo, is it more just superstition that are acted out in everyday life, or is it like a religion that has its own practices? Like, how is voodoo exemplified?
Well, most likely it's like superstition things. You know, people worship giving things to Satan, Satanism, exactly. Like, believe, like, if you're... grandparents die and they can give you some luck, and also those voodoo people, they can looking for luck as well, and also using some things to hurt others as well. This is what, or doing something to get money or become rich, but they never get rich as far as I know. Yeah, right. Yeah, this is how it is. Super, it's including superstition as well too. Yeah. Yes, sir. That is correct, and my video will be playing probably, I don't know when, probably Thursday or Monday, or just sometimes this week. This country, we see our forefather dedicate Haiti to Satan like over 200 years ago. I believe Haiti is a seat of Satan. This is why so much curse put on Haiti, because of that. And I think about your country today, you call one nation under God. Haiti is a one nation under Satan. Satan has control on Haiti completely. Right. So, yeah, the hope is the gospel of Christ Jesus. Yeah. All right. So, anyone here has any question? Ask. I love kids' questions. They're not here. The kids' questions are awesome. And adults ask some hard questions, you know. You know? The kid asks, what kind of food do you like? I said, rice and beans and everything. Very easy. Right. I was in a banquet last night. I'm in a mission conference, you know. And I said, please ask me. There's no stupid question. And this man asked me, do you need a wife? Man, I was so embarrassed. I said, okay, I have to book that rule. I said, that's a stupid question. Everybody was laughing. It was funny. So anyway, so let me see what time is it. Anyone here has any question? Maybe I can do something like for 7 minutes I have left here. All right. Turn your Bible, please, if you will, please. And if you probably, you might be afraid to ask question, maybe. You can catch me by my table. Anything you just want to ask me, please feel free, okay, by my table as well. Thank you so much for asking, and I certainly appreciate that. In 1 Corinthians, since it's Lord's Day this morning, and I want to do something here on this chapter, not a lot. I'm trying to do my best to keep it short and this morning here. In 1 Corinthians, you see Paul is speaking, and you see the Church of Corinth was a really carnal church. And there are so many things that take place in that church, in Church of Corinth. And those people, they are saved, but they never learn to go in the Lord. Now, Paul himself, and I can say he's a pastor in that church and has to do so many things and so many questions and answers that he has to deal with. And this chapter, you can call it a resurrection chapter, because the whole chapter dealing with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and also the believer here. And verse number, let me just read in verse number 1 here. Probably 4 verses, if I have time, I can make a little bit short application if I can this morning, please. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and therein ye are saved. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1. And by which also I heard people slipping the Bible page. They don't find it yet, maybe. So anyway, 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1, please. And verse number 2, and verse number 3, and verse number 4, okay? Here. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory. Now, look at this word here. Paul said, if ye keep in memory. That doesn't mean you have to memorize the gospel in order to be saved. I believe it's what Paul says here. If you receive that gospel with your whole heart, I mean sincerely believe that, it doesn't mean people have a hard time with especially this verse, if you keep in memory. That's mean if you, I always tell people, when I just witness to people, I said, do you mean, what did you ask Christ to save you? Do you mean it? Do you do it sincerely? That's what Paul is trying to say to those people. If you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. That's when Paul said, if you didn't do it sincerely, that's when you do it in vain. Exactly. Here in verse number 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Paul said, not according to me, but according to the word of God, Christ died for our sins. And even Paul, and he was a wicked man. And if you study Acts chapter 9, how Jesus Christ himself, you know, gave Paul that gospel. And Paul didn't meet Jesus Christ, but physically on the earth. But, I mean, when he received it, he saw that light. And when Christ said, Paul, why are they persecuted me? Paul said, who are you, sir? And he said, I am the Lord. This is how Paul met Lord Jesus Christ here. Paul said, according to the scripture, for that I deliver unto you first of all that all that which I also receive. Now Paul said, I receive something, and the same thing that I receive, and I give it unto you, which is the gospel here. Christ died, and he was buried, and he rose again. And I believe this morning, if you are here, you are saved, you receive the same gospel Paul received, and the same gospel he gave to those people in Church of Corinth. And that gospel can change life, and it changed my life. And 17 years ago, I'm so grateful for that here. And those people, they never learn to grow, or they never learn to share the gospel with others. Paul said, once you receive that gospel, you ought to be able to share it to those who doesn't have it. You receive something and you give something. Same thing for you here. And someone who witnessed you to Christ, or someone who led you to Christ, that person receive it and he give it to you. And also you ought to do the same thing. What you receive, you ought to be able to give it to those who doesn't have it. Can I remind you this morning as a believer, we are not a storehouse. Oftentimes, you know, you see people say for a long time, but wonder when is the last time you went someone to Christ, or you witnessed to someone, or you gave someone the gospel. You receive something, and you need to give something. You may not be a preacher this morning. You may not be a singer this morning. You may not a musician, but there is something we all can give. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to have a Bible college degree or whatever things may be, or knowledge, but you can start by your testimony or give someone a gospel tract. Paul said, I deliver. The word deliver means to transfer or to pass on to another. Paul said, I deliver what I receive. Paul said, I receive that gospel and I also give it to you too. And believer, this is the same thing, Christian, we are to do in this world. And this world is dying and go to hell. And we are living on the planet Earth that has 7.6 billion people, almost 7.8 billion people on it. And most of those people are lost in this dying world. And the only hope for those people is us. And you are saved and God placed you here is to give someone what you receive. As this verse here, Paul said, I deliver unto you, first of all, that I also receive. Now, it's a message for you. Let us not be as a church of Corinth. You receive the gospel? Yes. Give it to someone. Now, it's my message is just in one sentence. Give what you receive. Thank you so much, Pastor. So I hope I just finish on time. It's like 43. Thank you for all your Christian. Appreciate it.
Really appreciate that, Brother Robinson. And hope you got a little bit of his heart and what he's up against. And the freedoms that we celebrate here, and where the foundation of our country began, his seems a little bit different. And you keep him in your prayers as he endeavors to turn his country upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. You heard him say it. It's not through political ways. It's not through the gospel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for, again, Brother Robinson, and Lord, what you've, Lord, spoke to my heart about. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful in giving that which we have received. Lord, we sure do love you, and thank you for the opportunity to be able to have a missions conference like this. Lord, I pray that there'd be a spirit here where you are pleased with. Lord, I pray that the worship service and the songs and all of it would work together. And God, again, that you would just receive honor and glory. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you back here in about 15 minutes or so.